The big news at the moment is that there has been identified a coronavirus variant of concern. It's been given for the moment, until the WHO gives it a Greek alphabet moniker. It's known as B.1.1.1.529, 32 mutations in the spike protein, which is the part of the virus that latches onto human cells, and that is the part of the virus that most vaccines target. 22 confirmed cases as of the time of the briefing a couple of hours ago, most of them in South Africa, in Gauteng, but a couple in Botswana and one in Hong Kong, the Hong Kong case, in somebody who had recently visited South Africa. And lots of work to be done, but some concerning indications that it might be, not definitely is, but might be more transmissible, and also some concern, particularly because of the fact that it has this many mutations and of their particular nature and their place in the spike protein, that it might be able to evade some of vaccine protection and some of natural immunity protection. Professor Penny Muir is a virologist, a professor at WITS and the National Institute of Communicable Diseases. Penny, a very good afternoon. I suppose the question for the lay people is, how worried should we be by this?
Yeah, good afternoon. Good afternoon to you and your listeners. We are a little concerned by this. As you said, it contains many mutations, more mutations than we've ever seen in a SARS-CoV-2 variant before. Many of them are located in parts of the viral spike that we know are really important from an immune evasion point of view. So, for example, in the receptor binding domain of the spike, the specific part of the spike that is responsible for binding to the host cells, in beta we saw 3 mutations and in delta we saw 2, but in this particular variant we see 10 mutations. So it's picked up a lot of mutations and it's picked them up very fast. Some of them are old enemies that we know from previous variants, and we know very well that some of those do confer immune escape properties, so that means that the virus is likely to be less sensitive to antibodies. I think what concerns us even more is that there are many other mutations in this new variant that we have not studied before because we've never seen them before. And they may well, from where they're located, they may well be important for helping the virus to escape from both vaccine responses and from antibodies that were triggered by previous infection.
The last thing we want in South Africa, the last thing the world wants, is a variant which is more transmissible and against which vaccines are less effective. There's work to be done, but I mean, there is an hypothesis that it is more transmissible, an hypothesis that it will evade vaccine protection and evade infection-derived immunity. Is it just a case of waiting now to confirm that those two hypotheses, or is there still a realistic chance to which we can grab hold on? Sorry, I'm getting my grammar mixed up again. A realistic chance that we might be told in a week, phew, not as dangerous as we thought.
This variant is making me mix up my grammar too. I think we have to be realistic about the fact that it contains several mutations that we know are troublesome. One of the strange benefits of one of these sets of mutations is that one of the diagnostic tests that is commonly used is able to flag these variants without us having to sequence. So the diagnostic test that we use for SARS-CoV-2 essentially targets 3 parts of the virus. In this particular variant, one of those 3 is no longer effectively targeted. So it's actually quite easy for us to track this variant without having to do the full genome sequencing that we normally have had to do to track variants. So as Delta swept through the country, we had to sequence deeply to understand whether this was Delta or the previous version. In this case, we have a much quicker way of being able to track the epidemic, and that's going to be very helpful as we try to understand where it is and how fast it's spreading and whether it's associated with increased disease severity. And in terms of understanding how effectively it hides from antibodies, that is work that we have to do in the lab. And we started on Friday when the first sequence was identified, and there are several labs in South Africa, and we are receiving incredible support from international labs in helping us get there as fast as we can. But at this stage, it is educated guess based on what we know that this variant is going to be highly transmissible and is going to be resistant to antibodies. I just want to point out, though, that, you know, we've seen this before, you know, not with this number of mutations, but we've seen neutralization-resistant variants before, and the vaccines have held. They showed reduced efficacy, but they've held. And so, you know, the one thing that we can do while we watch this is to continue to go out and get our vaccines. We need to rely on the non-pharmaceutical interventions as well. But what we really need to do is to increase our coverage, of vaccine coverage.
Penny, I don't want a lockdown. You don't want a lockdown. Nobody listening to me wants a lockdown. Nobody in government Indeed. Wants a lockdown. But is there a case to be made or an argument which can be made and needs to be taken seriously that locking down now for a short, sharp period would be better than being forced to lock down in 3 weeks or a month for a much messier, potentially longer period?
I think you can argue either side to these things. There are a lot of these infections. If we look at the spike gene target failures and the number of infections, there are already a lot of these infections. So my personal view is that containing this will be difficult. But there is an argument to be made for both sides, and I'm glad that I'm not the person who has to make those decisions. At this stage, what I would say is that we have to do what we've always done with previous variants as they swept through this country, and we have to knuckle down in terms of how we behave personally, and wait for the government to make decisions about lockdowns on what is very, very new information. The government received the information in full early this morning, and a press briefing was done early this afternoon, and I think that speaks volumes about the commitment to sharing this information as widely as possible.
So government was only given that information early this morning?
No, they received the full data set, but I mean the scientists have been communicating with them since Friday when the variant was first detected. There's been a huge level of communication. It's just that really, you know, the extent of the spread of the variant is something that we're only beginning to understand now.
What's the reservoir in which these mutations happen?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. We're concerned, we have always been concerned, and your listeners will have heard this many times, about people who are unable to clear SARS-CoV-2 infections for whatever reason. That includes anybody with a compromised immune system, including, for example, transplant recipients, but also obviously including HIV-positive individuals whose HIV infection is not well controlled. When we look at this kind of variant and we see these huge numbers of mutations that have accumulated, then we do that evolutionary leap can only happen in a long-term shedder. So it's likely that we're looking at the scenario again. But, you know, to be very clear, you know, most people do clear this infection really quickly. So this is an unusual event, but unfortunately it does seem likely that that was the kind of event that led to this variant.
Because this comes up so often from vaccine-hesitant people who listen to the radio station and communicate with me, they tell me one of the reasons they're not getting vaccinated, because it is the vaccinated people that cause the mutant spikes, the changes in the virus.
Yeah, and it's simply not true. When people are infected with SARS-CoV-2, they develop very much the same response as people who are vaccinated. So there is no reason to assume that vaccinated people are somehow mounting immune responses that are driving variants. What is driving variants is the number of infections that we have. Every time somebody is infected with this variant and struggles to clear it, and that happens occasionally, people struggle to clear it, it provides a perfect opportunity for this virus to pick up all of these mutations. So the pressure that is coming from this virus is from the number of infections that allows it to accumulate these number of mutations. And if we can reduce that, and the only way we can do that is by vaccination, then that will help reduce variants in the future.
Professor Penny Moore, thank you for being so clear with us, a virologist and professor at Wits University and the National Institute of Communicable Diseases.